You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يقول الله تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: فإنما شفاء العي السؤال. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our local, national and international listeners to another edition of the Q&A on this day, kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group with our esteemed Amir and resident Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah, whom we have online at the moment. If you have a question, please address it to the WhatsApp number 0847863132, and for our international callers it's +27847863132. Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Maulana Khalid Yaqub. Alhamdulillah, today in South Africa is the 14th of Jumad al-Ukhra, and it is the 9th of February 2020. So in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, is the 15th, but in South Africa today is the 14th of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1441.
Salam, is it possible to do the tawaf before Isha and sa'yu after Isha when one is doing Umrah?
الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, many a time it happens when a person is performing Umrah, then you have to break it up. For example, between Maghrib and Isha, you perform your Tawaf, and thereafter you read your 2 rakat Salat for Tawaf, which is wajib and compulsory according to Hanafis, and Sunnah according to the Shafi'i Hanbali, and thereafter you perform your Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Or after your Isha, you read your 2 rakat Salat, and thereafter you perform your Sa'i. So all that would be acceptable, meaning there can be a pause and you can be delaying the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. So there will be no problem in that. But you must remember you are still in the state of Ihram during that time there. So one must exercise caution and precaution.
Our second question: if a person is landing in Jeddah but going to Medina, does he have to wear the ihram?
Remember that if a person is going to Jeddah but from Jeddah directly is going to Medina Munawwara, then in that case there you don't wear ihram. You only wear ihram if you're landing in Jeddah and going to Makkah, and thereafter you cannot fasten ihram in Jeddah. You must fasten ihram before you land in Jeddah. If, for example, if you're going via Dubai or Egypt and so forth, so at those airports there, fasten your ihram and make intention, remember, that you are fastening your ihram, and before you land in Jeddah, half an hour, 45 minutes before that, you make your intention for your Umrah. If a person fastens his ihram in Jeddah, there, the airport or hotel or whatever you, so remember, dam will be compulsory, and that means you'll have to slaughter a goat or a sheep, and this goat or sheep must be slaughtered in Makkah Mukarramah any time of the year, and the person will be guilty of a major sin as well.
The next question: is it permissible to curse the disbelievers like the Shiite? They say such horrid things about Islam and the Sahaba, or should we just make dua for their hidayah?
Remember that any person who swears, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa, they're out of the fold of Islam. And remember that they have nothing to do with Islam. So you must remember that today people speak of unity and so forth. We don't have any unity with the enemies of Islam, who hates and curses Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an. Wallahi al-Azim, I have Quran in front of me, they're out of the fold of Islam. And Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 9, verse 79, Alladhina yalmizun al-muttawwi'een min al-mu'mineen, that those people who are criticizing the Sahaba, so you must remember that for them, and for yaskharuna minhum, in front Almighty Allah states, so when they criticize, then Almighty Allah defends the Sahaba and say, سخر الله منهم, Almighty Allah will mock them and dispatch them straight to Jahannam. And today you will find some munafiqeen and hypocrites who speak of unity with the enemies of Islam. They themselves must question the iman. If they agree with the enemies of Islam in this thing, in their aqidah and belief structure, that they themselves are also out of the fold of Islam. And if they do not agree, but they just speak of unity, then the munafiqeen and hypocrites. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, O Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jahidil Kuffara wal Munafiqeen waghlud alayhim, that you, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wage war against the enemies, the non-Muslims, and those people who are harming us, and the munafiqeen and hypocrites who speak of Islam, but they want to divert the people away from the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, waghlud alayhim, and be firm with them, against them, meaning that you fight against them, you tell them that they are wrong, وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, and their resting place is Jahannam and the hellfire. So Almighty Allah has mentioned this very, very clearly in Surah 66 and verse number 9.
The next question, which are the times when it is haram to make sujood tilawa?
Remember that if a person read the Quran now and then you make sujood tilawa now, that's fine. You read the Sajdah Tilawa after Asr, and then you make the Sajdah Tilawa at that time, that's fine. But if you read it now, after Zohar, and then you delayed it for after Asr, or after Fajr, so that would not be permissible. So what we should do is not be performing the sajda during sunrise time, when the sun is at the zenith, the istiwa, and sunset time. And similarly, according to Hanafis, you can't be delaying the sajda tilawat to after Fajr and after Asr, unless you were reading it that time, but you read it at night, and now you want to perform that sajda tilawat which you read after Maghrib, after Isha, after Fajr, or after Asr, the next day, for example, so that would not be permissible.
If a woman inserts a tampon but she's not bleeding, does her fast break?
You must remember that her fast will break, and you ladies must remember the principle. What is the principle? That anything that enters the front passage, you must remember that that will nullify the fast and break the fast. And remember, qada will be compulsory. This is for females only. For the male, remember anything they enter through the front passage and so forth, so remember that your fast will still be valid. However, any medication that goes through the back passage, for example, people, you know, they suffer from piles and so forth, and they have to use suppositories, Allah forbid, and all this type of medication. So you must remember, Allah protect us, and I'll give you a dua just now. So remember, medication through the back passage whilst you are fasting, that will break the fast, like the example of piles and suppositories. However, if a person is, you know, cleaning himself and so forth, and you're using water and so forth for istinja, which Muslims must use. So after relieving ourselves, it's compulsory to use water. So if water enters through the back passage, then remember your fast is valid and it will not break. Today we know the coronavirus and so many other sicknesses and problems, you know. So everyone read with me now. This is authentic hadith and is mentioned in Abu Dawood and is mentioned in Sunan Nasai. And the dua individually is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. So let's read it again. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, inni I a'udhu bika, I seek your protection, min, from, sayyi'il, the dreaded, sayyi'il asqam, the dreaded diseases. So always beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for protection. Teach our children, grandchildren and our students, and inshallah Almighty Allah will grant us siha and afia, good health and comfort, and protect us from all these type of dreaded diseases.
I have a sister from my side of the family who is not Muslim and is very ill. Is it permissible for me to go and visit her?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in Surah 31, Surah Luqman, verse 15 teaches us, you are a Muslim and your parents are non-Muslim. So Quran Kareem teaches us, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So you mingle, associate with them according to the laws of equity, justice and so forth. Obviously, you're not going to listen to them regarding anything that goes against the Sharia and violates the Sharia, the wine and the swine and so forth. La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the Creator. The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. So now if your sister, your brother, your nephew, niece, whoever, uncle, auntie, parents, non-Muslim, they ill and they sick and you are a Muslim and you want to visit them, so the person is ill and so forth. So Islamically, there would be no prohibition on that. However, if they are now praying there and you know that they are praying in their temple or in the church or synagogue, or their priest comes, or their father, pastor, or whoever comes, then obviously you must walk away and you cannot be standing there and participating there. So you must make sure that you go such a time that there is no kufr and shirk and blasphemy and polytheism going on. And then you just go and you say that may the Supreme Being, the Almighty, give you cure and so forth and guide you to the truth. So meaning towards Islam. So all that would be permissible and you show them the beauty of Islam. I'm a Muslim and you non-Muslim, but I still have feeling for you because we are family and you are my brother, you are my sister or what have you. So that would be permissible and there's no problem on that.
Can a woman who is breastfeeding perform Hajj?
Remember, 100% she can perform Hajj. There's no prohibition on that. You know, in South Africa, everybody wants to go for Hajj. And you contact Sahuk and so forth because there are so many cancellations now because due to the cost factor and other reasons, what have you. So every person who wants to go for Hajj from any part of the world, read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O Almighty Allah, that let us show us the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive us. Verily, O Allah, you are of forgiving and very, very merciful. So read that verse. Allah Jalla Wala will take us for Umrah, take us for Ramadan, take us for Hajj. بِرْفِضْلِهِ وَرَحْمَتِي وَجُودِي وَكَرَمِهِ. Through His mercy, grace and benevolence, and we become Duyuful Rahman, the guest of Almighty Allah, and Duyuful Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the guest of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So remember that that is fine. Now in South Africa, normally they don't allow children to go with. But other countries, you must remember, Indonesia, Pakistan, India, they got 200,000 for each country or more. So you will see that they bring their children and so forth and so on. So in that case, they 100% is permissible. So you got your baby 6 months, 1 year old, and obviously you're going to breastfeed them. So there is no problem with that. Totally permissible. Islamically, there is no prohibition.
Somebody asked, why is Arabic written from right to left? And I did not have an answer for them. Is there anything in Islam that gives us a reason for this?
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَلَا تَخُدْتُهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. So meaning that most people in the world, even today, if you take your children, your students, you will see that they write with the right hand. And in my family, yes, it's different. I'm the only one who used to write among the children. My two brothers, two sisters, all were lefties, but I'm the righty. So I always joke, I'm on the right path. Anyway, Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus, they passed away, my two brothers, my parents, and so forth. And the point I'm making here is this, the two sisters, Allah give siha, afia. The point I'm making here is this, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuhibbu tayamuna fi shanihi kulli. That Islam, we give the right-hand side preference. So even when we write, we Arabic and so forth, so we write from right to left. So we will remain on the right path, inshallah. When you write left to right and so forth, so you must remember that you will find that, for example, Urdu, Farsi, Persian, all that you write from the right-hand side to left. So you will see that the non-Muslims, the languages they normally use, you will find they write left to right. So we oppose them. And we will always continue writing right to left. And the Arabic language, remember, is that language that has the greatest virtue, but not for everybody, only for those people, you must remember, who have Iman and Islam, and they pass away and they die with it. In today's world, you get people, you go to Lebanon, you go to other countries, there are millions of people whose mother tongue is Arabic, but remember, they're not Muslim. So for them, it is no virtue. You must remember that, where you say Abu Lahab, Abu Jahal, Abu Talib, all of them, their mother tongue Arabic, all dispatched straight to Jahannam, so and the hellfire. So always you must qualify it and say, yes, Arabic language has got virtue for people, provided that they have Iman and Islam, and they live with that Iman, Islam, and they pass away and die with that Iman and Islam.
Could Mufti Saab shed some light on the Aman Accord?
So you must remember that few years ago and so forth, there was in Jordan that they invited. Now all these are to do with politics. It's got nothing to do with Islam and religion and so forth. So they got one thing, they call it the Aman Accord. So they want to say that who are Muslims and not Muslims, it's just to curry favor with politicians and prime ministers and presidents and rulers and so forth. For us, the true Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you can quote me wherever you want, remember the Amman Accord, the Cape Accord, all this year. So Alhamdulillah, we say it's not even worth the paper on which it's written, and we condemn it and we say it's got nothing to do with Islam. Islam is Quran Kareem. If any person says the Quran has got 17,000 verses, as they say in Al-Kafi and so forth, such people are out of the fold of Islam. If a person rejects the Ahadith Mubarakah of Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmizi, all that, so they're out of the fold of Islam. People curse and swear Sahaba radiallahu an, they're out of the fold of Islam. People are saying that, remember, that we must merge with them and assimilate with them, have unity. We don't have no unity with Batil. And these people, these scholars who came there, I don't say all, but I'll say majority, Remember, they are puppets of their governments and regimes. So whatever the prime minister, ruler tells them, they just act on this because they are paid by them. So you must remember the Cape Accord here in Cape Town, the Amman Accord there in Jordan is not worth the paper on which is written. And alhamdulillah, with Allah's help and mercy, majority of the Muslims in South Africa and other parts of the world, they have seen through it. The aim there is to make the Rawafis part of Muslims, and they are not part of Muslims. How can any person be a Muslim when they cursing our mother, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha? They dancing and saying, today I sent out something and you must send it out to everybody as well. They saying, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidah Aisha in Jahannam and cursing them, they Muslim. So 100% pakka kafir out of the fold of Islam they are. You must remember these type of things here. So therefore there is no need to curry favor with any person, any politician, any government. We have to understand what is Deenul Islam. Deenul Islam is that we believe in the Quran Sharif. We believe in the Sunnah Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must believe that every Sahabi and companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who lived with Iman, died with Iman, they are promised Jannah, all of them without exception. Surah 57 verse 10. وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. We believe in the Awliyaullah and we follow the four schools of thought, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis. So that in a nutshell is the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. All those riffraff and enemies of Islam, they got nothing to do with Islam, the agents of Shaitan.
I had an argument with my wife. I told her that if she wants to stay in my nikah, then there will be no trips, holidays until my debts is paid. In my mind, I had no thoughts of talaq. Does this constitute a talaq?
Remember your nikah is valid that as long as you did not make intention of talaq. And you told her as long as the debts and the loans and all that, so we won't be going for holidays, we won't be spending here and there. So that's fine, and that's what you made clear. And every Muslim should do that. We should ensure that we are paying our debts first. Then you worry of running around here and there and so forth. Even to go for Umrah and Hajj, you should ensure that your debts are paid and so forth. Unless it's a long-term debt and you have made arrangements with your creditor, and that is, you must remember, you told them that you will be still continuing paying them every month, every week, whatever your arrangement is. You will not be defaulting, then it's fine. You go for your Umrah and Hajj. Here one point I want to raise. Remember that because every day we hear stories and people sending us WhatsApp and they are sending us messages and so forth, that people are delaying the winding up of the estate. Somebody's father, mother, husband, wife, child died or whatever you. Already 3 years, 5 years, 10, 20 years have passed. Justice delayed is justice denied. Remember that. And Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Mustad Ahmad Tirmidhi Sharif. Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tugza anhu. It can be somebody very near and dear to me or to you. That person will not enter Jannah and Paradise until and unless his or her debts are paid. So each one of us must make sure that we ourselves, we are paying our debts. Otherwise, remember, there are huge, huge problems. And therefore, we say the capitalistic society and capitalistic system is a cursed system. You must remember, see what happens to countries and people. They get so much in the debt trap. And now, never mind the capital principal amount, even the interest they cannot pay. So you must remember, therefore, Islam has cursed that system. It builds up, you must remember, people get the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And then you must remember, you have the oligarchies and you have the groupings and manipulation and so forth by the rich who manipulate all the prices and so forth. And you can see all this happening today. So therefore, remember that in Islam, all forms of interest is haram and we must stay away from interest and debts as far as possible.
Does a husband have to give his wife an allowance every month, even a little? If yes, then if the husband falsely claims that he can't afford it, how do we remedy the situation?
Remember, husband-wife relationship, certain things are compulsory. So the husband has to provide shelter, he has to give food, he has to give clothing, all that medication. All that is compulsory upon the husband. Certain things are moral obligation. Akhlaqi farz, as we call it, moral obligation. So you, your husband, the husband must use his common sense, although common sense is no more common nowadays. So you must remember, in a case like that, we will say that the husband, now your wife is doing so much, she's cooking, cleaning the house, looking after the children, looking after your valuables and so many other things. So mashallah, the extra you have, give her, whether it's 50 rand, 100 rand, 1000 rand, 500 rand. So without her asking and requesting, so in that way the marriage will be enhanced, you will bond with one another. Marriage is not bedroom and bathroom only. Marriage is unity of thought, that when you embrace one another, the body heat is there, and then you show and express your love. See what the Quran Kareem is teaching us, brother. Surah 4, verse 19. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And you must treat your wives with love and equity and justice. You can't just be expecting her to fulfill 3, 4, 5 portfolios and you don't show any appreciation. And then falsely you say that no, you can't afford it. But you got time to go play golf. You got time to go to the movies. You got time for your friends. You got time for all nonsense and haram things. So remember, those things are haram. When you are neglecting, you must remember your wife and so forth. So therefore, we must lead the life of al-aham fal-aham. So meaning that priorities. So movies, and that are always haram. And today people, they neglect their families to spend time on the golf course and sports and what have you. Since when all that is permissible? So therefore, it is a token of appreciation to our wives that weekly, monthly, we give them something in cash and kind.
Is it permissible for one to use hair conditioner that has alcohol? And if one reads Salah with such hair conditioner without washing it, is the Salah valid?
It's not permissible. So you must remember that first of all, to use this hair conditioner or shampoo or what have you that has got alcohol and so forth is not permissible. So you must remember this type of things here. And now if you read Salat with it and all that, so some ulama, they will say is jais and all these type of things, because they will say the mahiyat, and it means that the final substance, there's much more other qualities and so forth. So they pass the fatwa on that. But we will say that it's best you abstain from all these type of things. Why must we use all these things? Take, for example, medication. See, I give you one example. That you will get 50, 20, 10 different types of medication. 4 or 5 of them will have alcohol. Now deliberately we go use the one with alcohol, and the one that are non-alcoholic, we abstain from that. The Muslim must use the non-alcoholic one because he knows the other one has got in the ingredients alcohol. So remember, as long as there are alternatives, we must use the alternative. And this is nothing to do with life and death. This is just musty. Yet, whole life we don't use shampoo, you won't die or something. So you must remember that you use shampoo and it doesn't have alcohol and all these type of things. So it's fine. So that's the best one. But now we insist, I must use that one there because it makes my hair shine. Or it does this, it does that and all. So we will say that that is not permissible. There's no need for that. But yes, your salat and this type of things, we will say your reward is less. But best is to abstain from it.
Inshallah, listeners, we will now go for a break and resume with this edition of Q&A after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome our local, national and international listeners to another edition of the Q&A on this day, the 14th of Jumada Thani, 1441. Kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies with our esteemed Amir and resident Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, whom we have on the line at the moment. If you have a question, please address it to the WhatsApp number 084-786-3132 for our national and local listeners, and +27 84 786 3132. Our next question. Dear Mufti, At times I feel Islamic law and rules are unfair. Is this a sin, and how do I make amends for this?
Remember, if a person says that Islamic laws are unfair and he believes in that, it means you are directly objecting on Almighty Allah. Let us take a case study and see. We know that in all cases, but in many, many cases, in most cases, the law of لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that remember, the son will inherit double compared to the daughter, or the brother will inherit double compared to the sister. Now that sister, that daughter says, this is unfair, she doesn't accept it, she's against it. Straight away she's out of the fold of Islam, because that's a direction, a directive directly from Almighty Allah. And Almighty Allah is posing the question, أَفَ حُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ, are you seeking the laws of ignorance? So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us so many lessons in a noble Quran. When we make these kind statements, and now we want to challenge the noble Quran, we want to change the words of the Quran, Allah forbid, or the Sunnah of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so such people go right out of the fold of Islam. So see Surah number 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 50. So Almighty Allah has called it, you must remember, jahiliyyah and ignorance. The problem is something else. The problem is people grew up in a Western society, and the whole day they are bombarded by the Western ideologies. They go to schools where secularism is taught, so their mind also is secular. Secularism, if you study the history of it and the aims of it, you will find is to promote and advocate a godless society. You can see what's happening in South Africa and other parts of the world. So you must remember, now it is your secular mind. Your heart has become tainted, polluted, corrupted, corroded. So therefore they make these kind of statements. And once you make these kind of statements and you say this is what you believe and you accept, then 100% such a person's nikah is broken, they're out of the fold of Islam. So we need to be very, very careful. Once a law is mentioned in the noble Quran, in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is wahi and revelation. Once people start rejecting the wahi and revelation, they give their own reason and rationale and thinking preference, then remember, such people are no more Muslim, they're out of the fold of Islam.
Is it compulsory to have the walima immediately after the nikah, or can it be delayed?
Remember that, so today was a nikah at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock after Zuhr, for example. So you got 2-3 options. The best option will be that the husband and wife, today the husband is taking his wife now, nikah is performed, so they spend the night together and tomorrow they have the walima. So that will be the best option. Second option is, because of logistics and what have you, that tomorrow is Monday and now people cannot travel so far and so forth and so on. So you want to have the walima the same day. So that also is fine. So what will happen, the sequence must be as follows, that the nikah took place 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. And now after the nikah, the boy, girl, husband, wife, they go into khalwa. So they go enjoy their moments of privacy. He kisses her, touches her, smooches her, everything. Consummating the marriage is not compulsory. So remember that, just now they'll consummate and then ghusl and long stories will take place. So all that is not necessary. Even when they spend the night together, it's not compulsory. They must consummate the marriage. So in a case like that, that 15, 20 minutes or so, they will be in privacy. And thereafter you have the walima. However, that the walima must be paid for by the husband. Remember, the girl's side doesn't have to pay for anything. If you're calling it walima, then expenses must be paid for by the husband and not the girl's party. But today, you know, people want, they say, no, we also want to give a meal. So many guests are coming and it's our guest. So we want to pay quarter or half, and you pay half and quarter. So if you come to a mutual agreement, amicable agreement, so that also is fine. But in essence, remember, if you're calling it walima, then the expenses must be paid for by the husband and his family.
If a lady is performing salah in the haram, a Hanafi lady behind the imam, should she say Rabbana lakal hamd when the imam raises from ruku?
Regarding the previous question, what happens if they did not have the walima the same day or the next day? They want to have it after 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month and so forth. So that is not a walima. That is just an ordinary da'wat and so forth. And remember, even if you are having it the same day or the next day, and there are haram activities, for example, these videos and intermingling and music and you let this funny things going on, this dancing and what have you. So, you know, today funny, crazy things going on. So in a case like that, we must remember, is not permissible to attend. I myself, 99% of the time, we don't go. So remember, we will perform the nikah and then we just tell them we're going. So because so many haram things, the Muslims today, okay, you see, this is a perfect example I'm giving you. Okay, you go to the hall, Muslim, I'm speaking of Muslim, today's Muslim. So you must remember, you will find that the chairs got parda and more than 50% of the women are dressed to kill. And they, none of them will have parda. So youth, and they get one molvis up there to make dua. So what dua will come there? So is shaitaniyat going on? Sometime not only the chairs got parda, the ceiling also got parda. So what the hell that parda is doing on that ceiling, you tell me that. So you must remember, all just to show off. And this is, remember, innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen, that when you squander your wealth, so like that you become brothers of shaitan, you become sisters of shaitan, Quran is saying. And this is chapter 17, verse 27. Hence we need to be very, very clear on that issue. Next issue we must remember, is this. Islam wants everything simple, simple. Why don't you give that money to the husband, to the wife? They can use it for their future life and so forth. But man samma asamma Allahu bihi, we want to show off. I saw so many cases in my life. The parents would not listen. And then after 3 months, 6 months, less than a year, the girl is back. What happened? No, things didn't work out. We wasted 2 million, 3 million, 5 million. Because your intention is so tainted and polluted. So that was one issue I wanted to highlight. So now you are a Hanafi lady, Shafi lady, Maliki lady, whatever lady, and you are reading Salat in Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara behind the Imam there. So that's fine. And when the Imam comes up and there they pause long time, long period compared to our Imams here. So when he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, then you say, Rabbana lakal hamd, male and female. Or you say, Rabbana walakal hamd. So that also, what a wow. Or you say, Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. You add Allahumma in the beginning. Or you read, Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. So all that is sunnah, you must remember and read it. Second issue between sajda. You see, normally our imams, they make quick. It's against the sunnah that. They just say, Allahu Akbar, they come up from the first sajda and Allahu Akbar, no. Sunnah, authentic hadith, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read Rabbi ghafilli, twice you read it, so that's fine, that's sunnah. So all these type of du'as you read in first salat, sunnat salat, now is very, very good. That's a separate issue now. Remember, for you ladies, you're going now for Umrah, you're going to go for Hajj. Inshallah, Allah take all of us through His grace and mercy. For ladies, we are speaking about this ijma and consensus according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah that they should be performing and reading their salat at home, meaning in the hotel. The reward you get is much, much more. In the golden era of Islam, Humayda Sa'idiyah came to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ye in Madinah Munawwara, I love reading Salat behind you in Masjid Nabawi. The Master alayhi salam said, yes, I know, but you read Salat in your house. Your house has got three parts, the front section, the middle, and at the back. When you read Salat right at the back, remember you will get the optimum, maximum reward. So for ladies, this is the fatwa according to all four schools of the Ahlus Sunnah, Maliki, Shafi's, Hanafi's, Ambalis. If you read in your hotels, remember your reward is much more. You read behind the honorable imams of the Haramain Sharifain, your Salat is valid and there's no need to repeat it. So remember, that is unanimous fatwa and is acceptable.
What is the fatwa with regards to a woman who wears niqab during Hajj?
When a lady is in ihram, you are going now for Umrah, you are going for Umrah during Ramadan, you're going for Hajj inshaAllah. Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain from the enemies and Masjid al-Aqsa from the apartheid regime of Israel and the Zionist regime. So daily read two rakat salat for the Haramain Sharifain and Masjid al-Aqsa, our first Qibla. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. For females, the Master alayhi salam said, وَلَا تَلْبَسُ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ. You the ladies in ihram, you should not be wearing gloves. So in ihram, you don't wear gloves. When you're not in ihram, you want to cover your fingers, your hands, all that, or it's very cold, you want to wear gloves, so that's fine, no problem. But in ihram, you should not wear gloves. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the females, وَلَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمُحْرِمَا. The lady should not wear niqab. Now you don't look at one hadith and just start passing judgment and verdict. In Abu Dawood, our mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable daughter of Siddiq, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. So she says, when the Rukban, the strange men used to pass us, we used to cover our faces. In Abu Dawood is mentioned. Remember, this is not only confined to the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam. Go open Muwatta Imam Malik, you will find. Asma bint Yazid says that we nukhambiru hujuhana. We used to cover our faces and all that whilst we were in the haram. So the masla, verdict and fatwa is this. That you, the lady in ihram, that especially according to the Hanafi school and that, you should try and wear a cap. And then the niqab should not touch your face, your cheeks and so forth. But sometimes it's cumbersome for our ladies, they're not used to it. So if you wear a normal niqab, and then it will touch your face occasionally, so forth, so on. So after the umrah, you cut your hair and so forth. So you just give out 25-30 riyals, and that will suffice. There's no dam. Dam means you don't have to slaughter a goat or a sheep for that violation. Sadaqah, charity will suffice.
Mufti Saab, I have so much of fear in me. I keep thinking about snakes. This really depresses me. Please advise me on what I should read to protect myself.
Why are you thinking of snakes? You're looking at what's happening in China. They ate so much snakes. Now the people don't want to play with the Chinese. If you read the paper Thursday, Friday, this past Thursday, Friday, I was there in Pretoria. Allah Jalla Wala reward Mawana Ahmad Mawana Muhammad Dokrat Hafidahumullah. So I was looking at the Star newspaper, the school children who are Chinese here in South Africa, they say nobody wants to play with us now because everybody where they are, they just go the other side. So you must remember that eating snakes, all that is haram obviously in Islam, and you can see the harm and all it's causing in the world today, all these type of things. Now in your dream that you keep on seeing snakes and what have you, or you, while you're awake, you keep on thinking of snakes and all that. So if you see it in a dream, it is your enemies are plotting, planning against you. So read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. And if you, whilst you're awake also, you keep on thinking, dreaming of snakes, whilst you're awake also, so remember that is waswasa, the wasawis and the whisperings of Shaitan. So read, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, Ayat Al-Kursi, and this waswasa and whisperings of Shaitan will disappear. Stay in hudu as far as possible. Obviously, we can't stay in hudu all the time. So, لَيْ يُحَافِدَ عَلَى الْهُدُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنِ. Hadith is sahih, authentic hadith of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Ibn Majah, that the true believer, Muslim male and female, They stay in huzu as far as possible. All these satanic thoughts and waswasa and whisperings will disappear. And when you get all these negative thoughts, read Ayatul Kursi, read A'udhu Bil Falaq, Qul Bin Nas, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. All this will go away, inshallah. Give out charity also. It's just whisperings of shaitan.
Is it permissible for a sister to breastfeed her baby brother if there is no mother?
Yes, you must remember this, that if the mother is gone somewhere, she's gone for Umrah, or she's gone somewhere, hospital and that, and you are with your baby brother there, and now you are married, and you are breastfeeding your baby, and now your sister, your brother, is 6 months old, 3 months old, 1 year old, and they crying, you know that they are hungry, thirsty, whatever, and now you give him milk, so it means that you are the sister, and so now, biological brother, sister, and now you give your brother who's a baby, or your sister who's a baby, so you breastfeed them, so totally permissible, so you will become the sister, you will become the foster mother also, and you will become the sister, or you are the sister, biological sister. So now your connection to them will be two ways. So that is fine, there's no problem. You must remember that Islamically is totally permissible.
Can a menstruating woman sit outside the haram on the marble area?
Remember, if you are coming from that side, you know, in the old Hilton Hotel, and it was then called Millennium, and now it is called Makkah Hotel for those of you, Darut Tawheed side. From that side you coming, and all those tiles, those white tiles, you are in menses, you sit there. So that's fine, but remember, half the time the police chase them away. But anyway, if you sit there and so forth, that's fine, there's no problem. Or if you're coming in Madinah Munawwara, from that side there, Tayyiba Center and Hilton and all these areas, so, and you are coming towards the Haram and you sit outside, you remember this law, you sisters. Whilst you are in your menses, no masjid in the world, you go to Aqsa, that whole 35 acres, you can't enter, there's Haram. So remember that any masjid in the world, while you are in the state of menses, you cannot enter. If somebody asks you for dalil and evidence, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj in the 10th year of the Hijrah. It is the 4th of Zil Hijjah, and it is a Sunday like today. So you must remember that just outside Makkah, in a place called Sharif, where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha is buried. And remember that nowadays they changed the name Nuraniya and so forth. Nevertheless, so there Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, our honorable mother, her napaki, her haiz, her menses started. This is Islam. Everything we have is documented, no fairy tales and so forth. And now she had made intention for Umrah as well. So now the days of Hajj came. So what she asked Nabi alayhi salam, what must I do? So the Master alayhi salam said, if Ali kama yaf'alul Hajj, ghayra Allah tatufi bil bayt. You can't perform tawaf, because to go to the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafah is inside Masjidul Haram, and you can't enter the masjid. It's authentic hadith, open Mustan Ahmad and so forth. So now she did not perform the Umrah, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha. Now she made intention of Ifrad Hajj. So after Hajj, everything is the night of the 14th of Zil Hijjah. They want to depart. She, to Medina Munawwara, she started crying. Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the honorable wives, they perform Umrah and Hajj. I only perform Hajj. Okay, fine. Now you go with your brother Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr, and then from Tan'im. That's why that masjid is called Masjid Aisha, and go perform an Umrah from there. So it shows that a lady in the state of menses cannot enter any masjid. It's totally haram and not permissible. You sit outside there by the tiles and so forth, read Durood Sharif and Salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There in Medina Munawwara. In Makkah you read La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Makkah Mukarramah is Markazul Tawheed. It is the place from where Tawheed came. That is the Wahi initially in Makkah. So from there, remember the message of believing in the oneness and uniqueness of Almighty Allah. So that is what you should try and do, and you use your leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah.
Is it permissible to keep a bird in a cage?
Remember that in Islam, this last week Friday, Sheikh Bandar Balila delivered a khutbah, very nice khutbah, mashallah, and you will find that these khutbahs which we translate every week, they on our websites also, you can find it there, Mufti A.K. Hussain, MuftiAKHussain.net, MuftiAKHussain.net. So a lot of things you will find there, inshallah, it will interest you. So the Sheikh Bandar Balila, Hafizahullah, spoke of Ihsan, that we must be the ones to fulfill our duty with beauty. That in simple English is a translation of it. So here, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the hadith in Abu Dawood, Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. That verily Almighty Allah Jalla wala has prescribed that you do goodness to every creation of Allah. So you can't be keeping birds, parrots, you can't be keeping fish and all this type of thing in the house, and then you don't feed them, you don't give them water, nothing. They all will die, obviously. So if you're keeping these birds, these parrots, these fish, then make sure that timeously that you are feeding them, looking after them. Not you go for holiday, you come back all dead. So who's to blame? You to bear the blame. So what you think, they're going to start fasting or what? So you must remember that that will be, you are guilty of a major crime. So we must pray, P-R-A-Y, to Almighty Allah, and not pray, P-R-E-Y, on any creation of Almighty Allah. That is the beauty of Islam. So yes, you keep birds, you keep parrots, you keep rabbits, you keep fish, but make sure you look after them and don't torture them.
My husband has provided me with everything, so much so the house and the business is also on my name, and this is written in black and white. And I may do as I please with these assets after he passes away. In addition to this, he gives me 5,000 rand a month spending for personal needs like food, medical and petrol. However, sometimes I run short of money. Is it permissible to take his money without his permission? He instructed me that I can only use his money after he dies.
You must remember that that is the clause that Islam does not agree with. So when he told you, this house is yours, this car is yours, this is yours, this is yours, and then he added that clause that remember that all this you can only sell after his death and after his demise and so forth, a clause and condition like this is waived off. If you want to sell the car now, Islamically, it's totally permissible. You want to sell the house now. I'm not suggesting for a moment you should do it. I'm just explaining to you. So when a person, husband, gives his wife a gift, vice versa, I give a gift to my student or whatever, then in Islam it is classified as hiba, and you cannot attach any conditions to it. And even if conditions are attached, all those conditions are waived off, they have no bearing Islamically. So you must tell your husband, today on Q&A you heard that all these things belong to you, you have it black and white, and all those conditions mean nothing. So I'm not suggesting you go sell the house and so forth, and then you keep the money, and you and your husband now will start looking. No. You keep the house, obviously, for all intents and purposes, but now you want to upgrade your car, for example. So you sell the car and go buy another car. So it's all fine. There's no problem with that. The money he gives you, 5,000, and mashallah, your husband seems to be an excellent guy. I must say that he must be having a lot of money. I hope you're the only wife. So remember that in a case like that, he gave you car, he gave you house, he's giving you 5,000 rand. So now you can't be going now to his wallet and now helping yourself more and more. He gave you so much, what you want to go now fiddle in his wallet and so forth. So that's not permissible, sister. You also must learn to lead a simple life, not now go to the other extreme of extravagance and so forth. So you must not, you are not, it's not permissible for you to go and take money from his pocket or from his wallet without his permission, not permissible.
If someone has a holiday home in Durban and lives in Johannesburg, do they read Qasr at the holiday home?
I live here in Johannesburg. I'm giving example, and I have a holiday home in Ispingo Beach, Umslanga, here, there, by the beach side, South Coast, North Coast, Port Shepstone, wherever you. So now it all depends on me. If I want to make intention of Ta'addudul Awtan. Ta'addudul Awtan means I say, this is my home also, Johannesburg. Durban also is my home, Umhlanga, South Coast, you understand? No, Umhlanga is not coast, we know that. But in the South Coast, Port Shepstone, East Pingo Beach. So if I made intention, so both places will be my hometown. So both places I'll read full Salat. If I say no, that I can consider that just as a holiday place, and when I go for the weekend, 2 days, 3 days, and so forth, and I don't consider it really as my home, so in a case like that, you will say that you are musafir, and when you go to Durban for the weekend, long weekend, then you will read Qasr Salat, Zuhur you will read 2 rakats, Asr 2 rakats, Maghrib you will read 3, Isha you will read 2 rakats, and Witr. The Witr you must read according to Hanafis only. And then Fajr you read 2 and 2 because you musafir. So it's all up to you, brother, sister, how you make the intention. And you, the wives, you will follow what intention your husband made. So your husband said both homes are our homes and we consider it as our home. So meaning that permanent home, then both places you must read full salat, husband and wife.
Respected listeners, inshallah, we will now go on a break and resume with this edition of Q&A after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3101.